Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Boss Girl, a contemporary sports romantic comedy by Lily Kate. Narrated by Kasha Kensington and Iggy Toma. Chapter 1. Jocelyn. I want you, boxer. The silence in the room is palpable, edgy even, as I wait for the man seated across from me to respond. I'm the one who called this meeting, and now, in the wake of my brutal honesty, I'm afraid I've pushed him too far. Sucking in a breath, I survey Landon Danny Boxer's every twitch, every flicker of movement around his lips, every glint in those blue gemstone eyes. But it's impossible to read him. I've finally met a man whose thoughts are a mystery to me, and I don't like it. I clear my throat and try again. Slower this time, a hint of gentle. Did you hear me?
You want me?
Eyes the color of worn blue jeans rove across my face. Leaning back in his seat, Boxer stretches his huge form across the chair, dwarfing it with his size.
That's forward of you, Miss Jones.
I want to work with you. I fight off the heat inching onto my cheeks. Sign with me, and we can do great things together. To my chagrin, he gives an unimpressed shrug.
I'm doing plenty of things already, and they all feel great.
I let out the breath I've been holding, and then attempt a few of the moves they teach us in my overpriced yoga class. I'm not cut out for this deep breathing crap, mostly because it makes me hyperventilate. We have a great agency here, and I have a number of clients who've...
I know who you are.
Landon Boxer flashes a big, toothy grin. One of his front teeth is significantly chipped. From a distance, it looks like he's missing it completely. His nose is a little crooked, his mouth a little too wide, his eyes a little too shiny. Yet despite all of this, he's attractive in an odd, quirky way.
Thanks for your offer, but I'm not interested, Miss Jones.
Just Jocelyn. We're friends.
Friends? I hardly know you.
Well, we can definitely fix that, I tell him. What do you want to know?
That's not how you become friends.
Okay, then. I try for patience, but this deep breathing business is driving my blood pressure through the roof. What should I be doing differently? He shakes his head. With the toothy smile gone, the pale blue of his eyes more serious, he's almost handsome in a gruff, Neanderthal sort of way. He's not my type, but I can appreciate the raw maleness about him. I can also appreciate his career, which is why we're here. Boxer may never know the difference between cufflinks and paperclips, but he has one of the most promising careers with the LA Lightning before him. With any luck, he'll be my next client. As a bonus, Boxer has the potential to score endorsement deals out of the wazoo if the Lightning does well this year, and I suspect they will blow through regular season at the top of their league. With the right guiding hand, a bit of a haircut, a trim of the nails, maybe the waxing of a few stray hairs, Boxer will be raking in the advertising dough by letting huge corporations slap his face on the side of cereal boxes. As for the guiding hand, that's where I come in. I'm the best woman for the job. I just have to convince him to let me take control. Together, we can do great things. I'm sure of it. See, I haven't become the best agent in the business by slacking off. I work my ass into the ground. It's earned me a few nicknames along the way, many of them unpleasant. But I look past all that, keep my eye on the prize. This is a male-dominated industry, and if I show any sign of weakness, it's the end of the game for me. The respect I've worked years to achieve will be gone. So unfortunately, if that means people call me the Ice Queen or worse behind my back, I have to deal with it. The only thing worse than being called the blonde bitch would be to have earned the nickname for nothing. Boxer, however, he's different. He talks to me like a normal person, and I must admit, it's refreshing.
I can't help but wonder if this is part of the reason I'm attracted to him. As a client. A potential client. Duke's retiring, Boxer. I know you're loyal to your current agent, but he won't be sticking around another year. I hand him a sheet of paper with a list of endorsements for which he'd be perfect. Let's work together. Boxer scans the list, an eyebrow raising.
This is a lot of endorsements.
I have contacts at all of them. These are warm leads, and I've already pitched you to a few. This one I think is perfect. I point to a company that sells men's undergarments. They love you. Big payday here. He frowns, thinking on it for a long moment. Look, I'm not trying to steal you away from Duke. I tell him, I just want you to consider a deal with me. Will you think about it?
I still don't know anything about you, Miss Jones. And you don't know me. Duke isn't just an agent. He's been a friend to me. I need to know that the person I sign with is looking out for my best interest, not just the bottom line.
Okay, well, we can fix that. I take a deep breath and exhale. I've been known to do a lot of things to secure a client for my roster, but becoming BFFs is a new one. If this were anyone else, I would have sent them packing by now because I don't have time for friendships. However, something in his eyes, the way he speaks so earnestly, as if every word comes from his very core, holds me attentive. Tell me what to do.
You want to get to know me?
Boxer stands and extends one massive hand. He's got tattoos winding up both arms, adding to his brawny appearance.
Let me buy you an ice cream cone.
An ice cream cone? How about I buy you a drink? There's a bar just downstairs.
I don't drink,
he says.
But I do love sprinkles.
Sprinkles, I say, mystified. Well, then let's get ourselves an ice cream.
Great.
To my surprise, he covers my hand with his, pulling me toward the door with a grin.
I know just the place.
Chapter 2. Boxer. I do love sprinkles, and I'm more than happy to share my favorite ice cream joint with the notorious Jocelyn Jones. See, I am well aware she's one of the best agents in the business. Hardworking and tough as nails, the woman knows how to make things happen for her clients. However, if she thinks I can be wooed over endorsement promises, she's got me pegged all wrong. I don't deal in cold contracts, bleeding my signature onto their pages. I deal in handshakes, loyalty, and trust. I am aware of her reputation. Around town, people call her the Ice Queen. I've heard her called worse, but I don't care to repeat that sort of language around a woman, especially when it's not true. Anyone who thinks Jocelyn Jones is made of ice simply isn't looking hard enough. There's more to her than meets the eye, that's for sure. And I want to find out what. But if Miss Jones thinks she can win my business without taking the time to know me, she's not understanding my game. I don't want the polished exterior she shows to the world. I want more than that. I need to know she trusts me. And I need to trust her. If Jocelyn Jones lets the ice around her heart melt, we could make an excellent team. See, there might be more to Jocelyn Jones than meets the eye, but there's a side of me she hasn't seen yet either. And if I'm going to trust her with my career, she's going to have to trust me, too.
Chapter 3. Jocelyn. This looks great. I try to give a cheery smile, even though nothing could be further from the truth. He's taken me to a complete and utter dump. I have to step over a pile of melted green goo on the sidewalk. Boxer gives an enthusiastic nod, and I try not to wonder whether this place has ever received an A rating from the FDA. The ice cream shop is hardly more than a hut built into a truck and parked along the road near my office in Century City. I thought it was a mistake when Boxer stopped his car in front of it.
We could have walked, but thanks to my high heels, he offered to drive. I keep that smile on my face, following Boxer to the window, watching as he gives a complicated handshake to the man behind the window.
Gabe, you know what I'll have,
he says.
The lady will have...
I give a stupefied shake of my head as he looks to me. Boy, I say, scanning a peeling menu that looks thoroughly unappetizing. Where do I even start?
Dip cone, extra crunch on the outside,
Boxer says smoothly, half to me, half to Gabe.
Yeah? Crunch is the best,
Gabe agrees.
Sweet treat for the sweet lady.
I laugh at this. The thought of anyone calling me sweet is a little bit funny. My cheeks turn red and I look away, however, when Boxer nods in agreement. I reach for my wallet, but Boxer rests a hand on my arm, halting me in the process. Let me pay, I say. It's business. I can expense it.
No, this is personal.
With an amused shake of his head, he moves my hand away.
We left business back at the office.
Well, then, thank you. Boxer hands over a 20, waving away the change. On the ice, this man looks intimidating. He's big, his sheer size a presence in itself. The features on his face are a little too dramatic, the chip in his tooth a testament to his many battles on skates. However, when he smiles, his eyes brighten into pools of crystal blue under a slightly too long mane of dirty blonde hair. My eyes wander toward the bulge of arm muscles as he tucks his wallet back into his pocket.
Here you are,
he says, handing one cone to me and holding on to the other.
I guarantee you've never had anything better.
I take the dessert, calculating just how long it's been since I've had any of it. The waffle cone, the crunch, the full-fat ice cream. I don't diet, but I do stick to a regimented meal plan of coffee for breakfast, salad for lunch, and a lean cuisine for dinner. I just don't have the time to really enjoy food. For me, it's a tool to keep energized, and nothing more. Boxer watches me carefully.
What do you think?
I make a show of my first lick from the top of the cone, raising my eyebrows in pleasant surprise. I'm shocked that I don't have to fake my amazement. The ice cream is delicious. It's wonderful, I tell both men as they watch me like hawks. Best I've ever had. Both break into smiles at my words.
Great,
Gabe says.
I love to hear it. Any friend of Boxer's is a friend of mine. Come back soon and bring Charlie.
Charlie? I look to Boxer.
Let's walk,
he says. It's a surprisingly warm January day in Los Angeles, and the burst of cool treat sends tingles across my flesh. The sweet crunch of sprinkles against a backdrop of vanilla and chocolate twist brings back the sensations of summer that I haven't felt since childhood. When Boxer rests his hand on my elbow and turns me down a side street, it's comfortable, as if we've been here before. Dance to this tune. We stay quiet for some time, and the peaceful hum of midday sounds is a nice change of pace. We walk until Boxer finds what he's looking for, a bench tucked into the high-rise buildings of Century City. Despite the corporate feel, he's managed to find a small section that feels like a park. I'd never noticed it existed. Only once he's gotten me seated does he remove his hand from my arm and sit down next to me, perching lazily across the space. He owns the air around him with quiet confidence, how a cat might lounge in a windowsill.
Tell me about yourself, Miss Jones.
I run a hand over my pencil skirt. I thought we left business at the office. Call me Jocelyn.
Jocelyn.
He tries the name out.
Okay, then. Where'd you get that name? It's beautiful.
Thank you. It was my grandmother's.
Were you close?
Oh, I never met her. He glances toward me, swift and curious.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure she would have loved you.
His choice of sympathy surprises me. He doesn't even know me, yet he sounds sincere. It's odd.
Because I don't have a good answer for him, I take another lick of my cone. I don't talk about my family much because there's no point. They're not here anymore, so there's no sense bringing up an age-old ache in my gut.
Tell me something else about yourself,
he says.
Something happy.
Something happy? Another lick of my ice cream cone. Boxer is an anomaly, all right. I showed him the money already. Most clients would have signed on the line and popped the bubbly. Not him. Lost in my thoughts, I don't realize that Boxer's staring at me. I've completely forgotten the question.
Miss Jones.
Boxer gives me a thoughtful expression over his own ice cream.
It shouldn't be so hard to come up with something that makes you happy.
Oh, of course not. I smile at him, but he doesn't return it. Instead, I find a sense of contentment there, a quiet calmness. At the moment, I'm happy you're excited to meet with me. I really believe that together we can do great things, and... Boxer gives a low laugh, and I stop talking.
I didn't ask for a sales pitch,
he says in his deep voice.
Work doesn't count. What else makes you happy?
I narrow my eyes at him, thinking on it. It's harder than I'd like to admit. I enjoy my spin classes in the morning, I begin. The endorphins make me happy.
Fair enough.
Tell me something about you, I say before he can pester me for more. What's something I should know about you?
Oh, Miss Jones.
Jocelyn.
Anyone ever call you Joss?
Boxer asks.
You seem more like a Joss.
I blink in surprise. Only my dad.
Well, your dad has good taste.
Yes, I agree, not bothering to correct Boxer with the correct tense. My dad had good taste. I haven't been called that since I graduated high school. It just didn't seem as professional.
I get it. My name is Landon, but my brother called me Danny growing up. I prefer Boxer.
I size him up, pretending to study his physique. You look like a Landon to me. He gives a quiet laugh.
Only my mom calls me that.
I catch a drip of ice cream on my tongue before it falls to the ground, surprising myself with how long I've gone without looking at the clock. Even more surprising, I'm in no rush to leave. What else should I know about you?
I have a daughter,
Boxer says, his face lighting at the word.
Her name is Charlie. Well, it's Charlotte, but she'll poke your eyes out if you call her that.
A daughter? Another drop of ice cream snakes down the side of my cone, but I'm not quick enough to stop it from skidding toward the ground. Are you married?
No, never was, actually.
He stands and reaches a hand out to pull me to my feet as I finish the last of my cone.
His has long since vanished. Are you ready?
How old is Charlie? I accept his proffered hand, allowing his giant one to engulf mine. His fingers are warm, gentle even, as he guides me onto the sidewalk.
She's 5, almost 6. Hard to believe how fast the time goes.
That it does. Do you have other children?
It's just the two of us at home.
You've been raising her alone?
For almost 5 years, yeah.
I shouldn't pry, but I'm genuinely curious. You can tell me to bug off if I'm being inappropriate, but I'm just curious how she came to be yours. He laughs, and I realize the awkwardness of my question a beat too late. I don't deal with kids often, and I've rarely considered having any of my own. Talking about children feels alien, so I cringe and apologize.
No, it makes sense, but that's a funny way to ask it.
We walk side by side, Boxer's face beaming at the mention of his daughter.
I don't suppose Charlie came to be mine. She's always been mine.
Of course.
You're not prying. This is what friends do,
Boxer explains.
As for Charlie's mom,
We fell in love about 7 years ago. I proposed, but she told me no.
Why? The word comes out a gasp, and immediately I'm awkward multiplied by 10. She wasn't ready to get married?
I suppose she was young and hopeful, among other things.
The blue of Boxer's eyes darkens, masking a flash of hurt.
She liked the idea of dating a hockey player more than the reality of it. I tried to keep up with her. The parties, the events, the premieres. But that's not me. Eventually, it wore us down.
Oh.
Then Charlie happened,
he says.
Nearly 6 years ago now. We tried to make it work for another year after she was born, but it only lasted a few months. Lauren, that's her mother's name, took off for greener pastures. Last I heard, she's dating a football player in Miami.
Oh, Boxer. My hand reaches for his of its own accord, and I give a concise squeeze. I've never been much good at offering sympathy, but this feels right. And when the touch happens, a rush slides through me, a zing of excitement and sympathy and compassion. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I pull my hand away before I lose my train of thought.
I really am.
Why?
He looks at me in surprise.
I'm not sorry at all.
But Lauren...
It wasn't the life for her.
He says,
but that's okay. This is my life. I can't imagine a day without Charlie. If anything, I'm a very lucky man.
It's a good thing I let go of his hand when I did. Otherwise, I might have slipped my fingers between his and left them there. I'm not known for my emotional intelligence or my ability to comfort my friends. I don't expect sympathy from others, so I've never learned how to gift it in return. However, Boxer's not looking for sympathy, and this throws me for a loop. I can't think of the right words, so I settle for a smile and a nod.
Do you have kids?
No, I tell him. None.
Any desire?
Oh, I don't know. I shrug. It's the truth. I haven't thought about it much. I haven't figured out how to balance a career and a family yet, I suppose. We approach his car and he stops walking.
It's not that hard.
Of course it is. There are blogs and books and advice on the subject everywhere, I say. I've read half of them and none of them make it sound easy.
Well, I'll tell you my theory.
Boxer opens the passenger door to his SUV and I note a doll upside down on the back seat.
Hop in.
I slide in, brushing against his arm as I do so. A jolt shoots through me just like the last time we touched. It jumbles my thoughts.
There you are,
he says, tucking the strap of my purse into the car.
You liked the ice cream?
Loved it. Boxer shuts the door, then makes his way to the driver's seat. Once he's settled, he looks across the center console, studying my face for a long minute. Eventually, I'm forced to look away. I pride myself on my ability to maintain eye contact in tricky situations, but this one is different. He's not looking to intimidate, but to understand. In a world of business, this is unusual.
There are only a few things you need to know about me,
he begins, finally dropping his gaze from my eyes to my lips, for one moment only, before he looks through the window.
I'm a pretty simple guy.
I'd beg to differ. He grins.
Then you're making this too difficult.
Humor me, I say, unable to hide my own smile. What am I missing?
I love my daughter more than anything,
he says.
And I love hockey a close second. That's all there is to it.
That's... I struggle to comprehend, stumbling for a response. That doesn't sound so simple at all.
Well, there's one more thing.
What's that?
Ice cream,
he says.
It's a close third.
Chapter 4. Jocelyn. Like a gentleman, Boxer drops me back off at the agency's building, waiting until I open the front door before pulling away. As I walk through the lobby and hit the elevator button to bring me to the office, I turn and watch his taillights disappear into the distance. I'm still thinking about him when I reach the office. I close my door and sit down to work, cramming in one meeting after the next until the agency is technically closed. When a knock on the door alerts me to the darkness outside, the late hour, I'm startled to find he's still on my mind. "Diana, that reporter called," Lindsay, my assistant, pokes her head in. "Sorry to startle you. I just hadn't heard from you, and I was wondering what I can do to get you home before midnight." Haven't I told Diana 100 times that I'm not open for an interview? I blink and look at the clock. "Lindsay, it's 8:30. Didn't you say you had a date tonight?" "I canceled, and I already told Diana no. I just thought I'd run it by you. It's never too late, you know. Might not hurt to do one interview." "Go, shoo. If it's not too late, uncancel your date."
"I don't mind. I wasn't all that excited about it anyway." She shrugs. "Plus, I finished up some paperwork. But how'd it go today?"
Instead of evacuating the premises like I'd suggested, Lindsay slides inside the room and grins.
"You had a meeting with Boxer?"
"It went..." I pause, sitting back in my chair. "It was interesting."
"I've heard he's a great guy."
"From who?" She shifts her weight from one foot to the next, her long, flowy skirt rippling around her legs. On anyone else, it'd look a bit hippie in style, but she's paired it with a sharp tank top, a jacket, and a beautiful pair of black heels to make the outfit complete.
"Well, Duke used to come by on business sometimes. He always spoke highly of Boxer."
Boxer's current agent is turning 75 next month. Someone finally convinced Duke to retire. Probably the saint of a wife he's held onto for over 50 years. Whether Boxer wants to or not, he'll need new representation, and soon.
"Did you eat dinner?"
I ask. "Let's order something."
"I'll pick something up on the way home."
"Look, Lindsay, I appreciate you working so hard, but you don't have to stick around until the middle of the night every time I do." I wave a hand across my desk. "You shouldn't cancel your dates to stay late."
"Meh, I'm using you as an alibi. My date seemed like a loser. He asked the color of my underwear, and we've never met."
I laugh, which is a refreshing change of pace from my normal workday. When I'd hired Lindsay as an intern, she'd been a cute brunette with bright brown eyes, eager to please. She'd worked round the clock on a measly intern's stipend. 4 years later, she's still with me. We've upgraded her salary, her job title, and her responsibilities. I live in mortal fear that one day she'll up and decide there are better career paths for her elsewhere. I'd die before I let that happen. She runs my life, so I make sure to pay enough that it's worth her while. People like Lindsay are hard to come by. Media may call me the ice queen, a cold and ruthless bitch, but they've never called me stupid. I know when I have a good thing, and Lindsay is a great thing. So is Boxer. "At least let me buy you dinner," I insist. "I'm happy to be your alibi anytime.
I'll put in an order of lasagna from Peretti's Pizza."
She bounces out of the room, and I wonder, not for the first time, how she's managed to keep her pleasant, rose-tinted view of the world firmly in place. She's a few years younger than me. She's pushing 25, and I can't help but think that when I hit 25, I'd been scrambling my way up the corporate ladder. Now I'm 28, and I'm still not sure where that ladder is leading. Though I'm proud of my career, a tiny part of me wonders what it's like to live life like Lindsay. She leaves the job at the office, has fun with her friends, texts boys about her underwear color. It's all so curious to me, but it makes her happy. I'm in the middle of jotting a note down about needing to call Duke, maybe pick his brain about this whole situation, when my phone rings. It's the direct line to Lindsay, so I hit speaker.
"There's someone here to see you."
I pick up the phone and put it to my ear, confused. "Who is it?"
"Andy Rumpert." Andy, I groan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?